Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Cover girl, put the bass in your walk.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest with us is Ms. Cheryl Morrow. Now, she is just a legendary hair industry specialist, and we're going to find out why. Cheryl, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Carrie. So good to be here with you.
Yes, an
old friend.
It has been a very long time, and we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Okay. I want to start with just first of all, you're out in sunny San Diego area, and Cheryl, I have to say, let's bring everybody up to speed, because I've known you for a couple decades easily.
Yes.
So we're going to just introduce you to our wonderful listeners out there. And reintroduce you to some, because you've been with us so long that some of our I'm not gonna say old time listeners, but some of our original listeners to the Hair Radio Show certainly know who you are. So we're gonna just go back and let's establish that with everybody first. Now you're a known hairstylist.
Yes.
You're also a chemist.
Yes.
You've run shops. You
yes.
educate. I consider you to be hair royalty. And that is being the daughter of the great Willie Morrow. And he's a hair industry pioneer.
Yes.
And you guys know, was it 100 years without a comb, was it?
I wish it was 100. But
well, no, 400 years. I'm sorry. Was it 400? Am I right? I mean, this is going from my memory. It's been,
yes.
It was a while ago, but I remember this documentary. Now, you've got to tell us.
Do we?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What, no, you go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's four centuries, which is a long
wow.
time.
Wow.
So
yeah, that is 400. Yeah.
That part, Mr. Morrow is a young 75 years old, and
shout outs. Yeah.
And,
yeah, absolutely.
Very bright, vibrant, but he is now embarking on trying to really do a guide. So he's going to be walking everyone through the four centuries. Of more of the really intrinsic information about specific things and artifacts, why we created them, how what we invented, how we invented them, and just really deep stuff of that nature. I mean, just really getting into explaining how, just the ingenuity of some of the artifacts and tools and relationships, too. That's very important. He's going to explain how his relationship and Mr. Bronner came about and his relationship with John Johnson and George Johnson and all the others. So it's going to be a project. So he's busy doing that. So he actually is in the next office across from me, by the way.
Well, let me tell you, he's such a wonderful resource, of course. I certainly remember having a wonderful opportunity and just luck to be able to, thanks to you, of course, to interview him decades ago as well,
uh-huh.
and just to be such an innovator, and I know he was doing so much, and just always literally in the middle of the hair industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I just love it, and I'm so grateful. And then to know here you are, okay?
Right in the middle of.
I mean,
right
you are truly, yes.
What we're doing now is we are trying to really I think how we deal with things in today's internet, because the last time I think we were really talking to each other and we were in each other's presence, Carrie, was there was no social media.
No, I'm about to say there was no, and social media was nowhere in sight, not that I could recall.
And let me just say this, and we already had some challenges with myths and issues of misinformation and bad information. So
mm-hmm.
one of the things that we love to I want to start with talking about what we're actually doing now.
Yes, please.
Presenting the Curl Academy in terms of allowing African-American beauty enthusiasts, no matter what they're beauty editors and bloggers and content writers or just general consumer laymen who are just enthusiasts about hair care and beauty and personal care, to be able to obtain real and scientific lab research, research team, very sound data and technology that they can really base that is factual and has been researched and studied. And they can have that information as well as, of course, the cosmetologists and the barber stylists and people of professional with certificates and licenses and things of that nature. So they also can reap the benefits of that sound, real ground level entry to what lab and manufacturing, production, science, technology. How does that all work in the beauty world? We also offer elevation. We also offer, there's one wonderful success story. And just to give you an example, there's a barber stylist who wanted to elevate into beauty litigation. So now he consults lawyers on beauty lawsuits. But he came to the Curl Academy to get that particular training.
Wow.
He also does that. It's just an exciting new university, new pool of information, Carrie, just representing. This is the new ethnic hair care school. Like,
wow.
I like it, like the new school in New York City.
Yes,
it's the
yes.
new paradigm shift. It's the new consciousness, and it's exciting. I mean, I have spoken to people all over, and they're just as excited that we're going to get a fresh perspective, some fresh.
Well, it sounds like it. Yes. Now you,
mm-hmm.
you've
Go
got
ahead.
To tell everybody how did this come about with the Curl Academy?
I had a reoccurring people would call me. People would also, and I basically, Carrie, got disenfranchised and I don't want to say tired, but it just the one-on-one everyday phone call from people who just
uh-huh.
really upset or really just and then bloggers having these really great arguments. I mean, really bad arguments. I wouldn't say great arguments.
Right.
That's a misnomer, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
But just these arguments about what is right, what is not right, having these really top hair care celebrities and all these people, I mean, just saying the weirdest things about what is true and what is not true and what goes on. And I'm saying, wow, we really have got to get on the same page with a couple of a set of truths. And we can, as we get on that page with those set of truths, Carrie, we can bring our own light and our own twist to it. But we do have to have, you know, I mean, United States works from a constitution. Then you can
Right.
twist everything else and put your own juice on it. But you have to start with a constitution. And you have to start with some framework and something that remains to be true no matter what trend and era and genre, no matter what, you know, it always stays the same. The scientific facts stay the same. So that was my purpose of starting the Curl Academy.
And how has it been received so far, Cheryl?
By consumers, fabulous. By the natural hair care community, weird.
Uh-oh, you've got to explain it.
standoffish.
Wow.
And that's as honest as I can be. And let me just say this. I understand, though. I mean, you and I have talked about that many times, but I understand it because this is fresh, new information that has always been there because Mr. Morrow has written scientific data on Afro textures, biracial textures, since 1961. So it's always been there,
please tell us. Yes, well, we can't let you. Now, you know, I understand, but we're going to fill in our wonderful listeners. Tell us why you think that's the case, though, and why it's been received in these areas. And you said it, you know, weird, and, you know, so you've got all these folks out there probably waiting to hear from you.
Yeah, I'll explain the weird, why I say weird.
Okay.
I'm going to explain that because when we originally, you and I met, and we
mm-hmm.
talked about the challenges from that perspective, we mm-hmm. did not have the internet to
no,
be the
it was a completely different world.
Right, of research. And
right.
the problem is that the research that is on the internet is not, I repeat, is not, though it is written by black people, or it could be written by people of color, or it can be written by the pen of a black person, the root intelligence that it's from is always from the traditional cosmetology. And because Afro textures in all of its variations, all of its textures, colors, all of its variations, does not come from the curly perspective. It comes from its opposite, which is the straight perspective. It is always spoken in terms of its opposite. So the information that's ascertained that they're using on the internet, though it may be on a black white website or a black website or a Latin website, it doesn't make a difference, or a Dominican or a Puerto Rican, it doesn't matter. It is still entrenched, drenched, submerged from the standard white cosmetology reference metric system. It's measured up against that. So when they begin to hear the Curl Academy and begin to hear something that is not even born, it's completely in a whole other stratosphere, a whole other planet, and it's coming from an Afrocentric perspective, then it takes a minute for it to sink in. I don't think they particularly reject it, but it is, most times when I speak to them and they call me, I have to, you know, there's this whole dead silence, you know, and it's the weirdest thing, Carrie. So, you know, they embrace it, but it is, it's not fear. It's just, I think, a real big whoa.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing.
It sounds like it is a good thing.
Yeah,
wow.
It's not a bad thing. I think it's ethnic beauty, regardless of what nationality they are. They could be from Costa Rica. It doesn't make a difference. To hear something exclusively about you that doesn't have the dominant power structure in it is a weird experience.
Mm.
Yeah, it is. When you just have you in it. And it's not in a response. It's not negative or positive. It just is, and it's about you. And it's the first time you've heard it, and you're and it takes a minute.
Well, I have to say, Cheryl, yes, this is quite amazing. It really is. You've got to tell everybody. Now, I seem to remember that you were also doing a lot of work in the laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And have you worked on anything, come up with anything recently, in recent times, or
Harry,
want to talk about that?
Yeah, Do you have to ask? I mean,
well, see, I really know the answers to all these because I know that you are just putting it down and you're always creating. You know, that's why everybody knows you and everybody loves all that you are doing in your work, because we know what you're doing and we know how hard you're working. But for those one or two out there, we're going to educate them right now.
Right, right. It's a wonderful experience that happened yesterday because one of those, of course, there we go again with those great debates that we love to have.
Yes.
And I love the great debate. I love the natural versus curly and the natural versus traditional and the long versus good hair and bad hair and all the cultural,
right,
corporate, what to do and what not to do and how to look at it, and the political and socialism and cultural.
Well, you know, I hear less today, Cheryl, of the, remember back when it was always, I think the big thing back when I started the Hair Radio Show in 1995,
yes,
I think I used to hear about good hair versus bad hair. I think that was the talk of the day.
And yeah, it was. And it still is.
It was the talk of the day. Yeah, that was definitely...
Now the problem is, and here begins, because this is good, I'm going to answer your other question, too, about the technology.
Sure.
But let me just go back here, if I can digress a bit. Mm-hmm. The bad hair, good hair is not a problem. Good hair is we have to, we can't fix that part of the conversation until we go in, mm-hmm, into our everyone's connection to bad hair, and how do we examine that? And see, in one of the lectures, which I hope I have the opportunity to partner with you, and I come out there and we do a whole big a lecture on.
Well, I would love that.
Actually, get the debate right, because actually, what we would do is I would love to get one big debate. We're gonna lock the door. Several hundred of the best minds in beauty. We're going to lock the door, and we're going to get that one conversation right.
Wow.
And all of us is going to get on social media after we leave, and we're going to straighten it out, right?
I love that.
I can partner with them. And Brooklyn is the best place to do it, by the way.
Well, you know, we are here, and we are ready.
So, but let me explain this. But when, by the time I break it down, the Curl Academy breaks this down, you would never say it again, because we not only fix the talk part, the word part, we get the language recorrected, we get the pictures recorrected, we get the mental pictures reconnected, we recorrect the emotional connection to it, the cultural context connection to it, we rewrite the narrative, and we dispel the myth, we kill the beast, and we don't talk about it again. And because that has not happened, that's the problem. We keep talking about it with people who are laymen, who don't really know how to create this corrective coherence, because we keep having this cognitive dissonance with it, Carrie, and we keep going back and forth, and we just keep allowing people. We have to, and then one of the good things about the hair radio that I've seen is the reason why it's so useful, because it has to bring some integrity to the dialogue.
Thank you.
So we won't keep saying things, and then once we say things and it gets out into the general populace, it becomes extremely dangerous. You know, words become extremely dangerous. So I hope to, when we can further discuss me coming to Brooklyn and really, actually what they call the great debate. We can really hash it out.
I would love that.
And in fact, let's just invite all the top dogs, because the whole point of the matter is our, and we can talk about this later, but our health and our collective immune system depends on it.
I totally agree. And I've got to let everybody know, you have just, you know, here in New York, and because you've been out here for quite a bit. You stayed out here in New York.
19 years. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, that's a long, long, long time. And so we feel I feel like you're still a part of the family here. I know you're 3,000 miles away, but we feel like you're still with us. Yes, you know.
I'm a Cali girl on top of it.
Which is unusual. You really do. You combine
the
best of both coasts.
People out here can tell that I'm not from here. And then when I'm there in New York, people say I'm not
there. They say exactly, yeah. Well, you have that certain something, and you've always had it. I've known you for a long time. You've always had that. And that is just amazing. And you've been able to, you know, really educate quite a bit. We've done workshops and things like that in the past. And they've gone over incredibly well.
Yes.
You know, you come out and you really do your thing. And we have some great folks that we will be organizing this. Now, in February is the big event that we're having, which is our Hair Nation Expo. So that's 3 days here in Harlem on 125th.
Whoa.
So, so we're doing 3 days of that, and we want you to be here for that.
Oh, yeah.
We can't do a hair event without you being here to talk to the folks, in Harlem. Your old neighborhood, we're going to say. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, no, you're right. I spent 19 years in Harlem.
Oh, yeah. So you know the folks.
Yeah, it's and I miss it. I know that everyone tells me that it's different. But I'm going to go back to that question because I'm a teacher, so I always remember a question.
Go right ahead.
But to go back into the technology, what we're working on now, we got and I hope I get to explain it, and I hope I get to present the new technology live with you there in New York City, because to present new technology, you have to be in people's faces. Just like Steve Jobs, when he was introducing the iPhone and the iPad or the OS 10, you have to be in people's faces.
Yes.
People have to see you. And
it's
easy to one thing to do it over email, it's one thing to do it over the phone, but or even in a radio media, but to really be there.
That face to face.
Right, to get the technology in your hand, to get the green jar, as I call it, because I actually literally do have a green jar. It's a sample jar of all the technologies in the small little quantities. And you get this eco jar called the green jar. And we've got three technologies, of course. We've got
You say the
California
green jar, I'm thinking that's the money jar. But
yeah,
no, you mean a different.
Well, I never thought
that's
about
different.
It like that.
It's a different way to look at it.
That's California Green. Number two is Curls in HD, which is a phenomenal technology. And we've got HR, which is high resolution, and this is a relaxer that is 99% chemical free, but it's a very sophisticated technology because most women, and I'm going to say this, and I want you to actually you give me your feedback on this.
Sure.
Most women who came out or are in the natural transitional or want to be or natural who wore relaxers for years, I am finding, as we study there in a poll, that they are anti-relaxer more than they are pro-natural.
Please explain that, because we've always thought it was one and the same.
No, not quite.
All right.
And when you go in, when you go and deal with culture. Straight hair is not foreign to African black people, only because there is straight hair in Africa without any mixing. It's just a fact. Curly hair people create straight hair. So our love or like or affinity for straight hair is not, it is 50% because of racism, obviously, and because of the other issues, cultural issues, social political issues, but our connection to straight hair is also anthropologic. So the point is that once I present a technology that deals with our connection to straight hair is should not be just connected to us wanting to fit in or the stereotypical experience, but we should be able to have ultra transition, texture transition, and some women should want to wear their hair straight all the time. It is convenient. It is pretty. It is multi-stylable. It is a lot of things. But this technology allows you to be able to wear and still have both without the damage or without the deterioration or having to give up your curl S pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But it does allow you to be sophisticated and for you to want to wear your hair straight all the time without any compromising or putting the curl pattern in jeopardy.
Amazing.
So in response to that, being pro-natural, then you don't want to do anything to the texture. Most, we find this, the women that fit in this category, they are worried about being safe. It's more about health than it is about a cosmetic choice to be natural, making a socio-political statement of their blackness. They don't really care about that. They understand that, you know, I'm black regardless of what, you know, it's almost like an African who has blonde straight hair in maybe the sub-Sahara, who's never mixed, doesn't have European blood, but somehow African people, all the most diverse continent on the planet, has straight hair in it. So here we go again, if we can get those paradigms shifted, then we can enjoy the multitude of what the dominant curly hair type we call Afro texture allows us to do. It allows us to do a plethora of things to it as long as we keep it safe. And that's the zone we want to be in the future.
Wow. Well, I have to say, Cheryl, and let me just remind everybody out there, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest that you've been listening to is Miss Cheryl Morrow. And Cheryl, you are a stylist, you are a hair educator, you are a chemist for the industry, you are hair royalty, the daughter of the legendary Willie Morrow. What can you say about where the industry is now compared to when we chatted last, which probably was a long time ago, but what can you say? Did you ever think the industry was going to get to this point where there would be a huge explosion in terms of healthy hair being a big part of the conversation? Did you ever think that?
When you are involved in the technological part and the scientific part, creating things, bringing people forward, finding new creative minds and inventors and surrounding yourself around the ones who create and produce. Yeah, you kind of see where it's going. But let me just go here. I think the issue, the number one issue is we've become an OTC industry. And that's over-the-counter, and we have not been, and once you're over-the-counter driven, that means you've stopped technologically advancing. Number two, that means that OTC, that means that anyone can, and anyone can should. But we know in a world of sophistication, highly productive, and a level that is generating, let's say, for example, the computer world. So Silicon Valley produces at a very high level. There's a certain excellence there, high performance, you know. So if we are not doing that and we've become an OTC industry, that opened up the floodgates for what we call mixologists, which are now what the leading chemist is. They're making things, they're making juice, they're making cocktails, and they're making mud pies, and it's called the kitchen. And black hair care, just in its history, its legacy is not rooted in the kitchen at all. It's very workshop, very laboratory. You know, very George Washington Carver and Austin Curtis, one of the great lab teams in the history of beauty. You know, these Mr. Moron, these are lab people. So we don't have a history in the kitchen. So for the ultimate lack of creating, even connecting to STEM people, connecting to our engineers, connecting to our MBAs, this is the only commerce Black America has shared alone for several generations. And now we act like we can't make anything. So when you don't participate in that Silicon Valley kind of production and behavior, so unfortunate, you have things that happen to companies that start out that way. They're not sustainable. So they end up getting acquired, and then they unfortunately disappear. And unfortunately, I think that's what happened to Carol's daughter. There's just not enough intelligence there to create sustainability. Hope they are in rebuilding stage, but we don't.
They've been taken over by L'Oreal, I believe. Weren't they bought out by L'Oreal?
Yeah, but think about it. That's the point. A company. Think about it. It's not that old. Not a company that's old, and for it to have been unsustainable, and no stability this quick.
Well, we certainly remember when they got started. I mean,
yes, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the point is that for us to understand and to have a think tank like yourself and to bring other people back, what happened so we can prevent it. So as we rebuild, and that's one of the reasons why I built the Curl Academy, for us to be able to have that talking space to create a real strong intelligentsia, to be able to critically analyze the data, and for us to strategize and shapeshift to the data, the correct data. So we can begin to solve our problems and really go back and take an honest look at what happened. And I'll make a reference right here to the Korean story, which is very sad because it never happened. But that's what happens when we get on a bad narrative. We just keep making it up, and it keeps steamrolling on down the hill, and then we find ourselves in a very weird place. And then I find myself with you asking me the question, why are we here? Well, we're here
right.
As a combination of things, but we have to be able to back into it, unravel it, critically analyze it, tell the truth, actually what happened. Because, you know, some of the people who were there are still alive. They know that narrative is definitely wrong, didn't happen. And what actually did happen. So that is why it's very frustrating to hear a person in present day say, quote, unquote, I did the research. And I'm saying, oh, my God, the research is bad intelligence. That's the problem.
Right. Garbage in, garbage out.
Right. We have to start all over. And that is why, you know, that's why I'm going on tour and traveling and trying to make sure that we can have honest dialogue. And because I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't have all the answers, but I know where the bodies are buried.
I hear you. Well, you know what? I've always wanted to ask you this, especially in recent times, mm-hmm. where you talk quite a bit about technology. and through the Curl Academy, which is fantastic. But what do you say, speaking of technology, when you look on YouTube, if you will, and you see what they call the DIYers, the do-it-yourselfers out there,
mm-hmm.
And because of all of that misinformation that has funneled its way for years, do you have any advice to the do-it-yourselfers? Is there some, you know, something you can say to kind of...
I applaud the effort. I mean, I really do. Mm. And let me just say this. The reason why I applaud the effort is because I am a former hairstylist. I am a former professional. I am retired. And the reason why I applaud their effort, because we failed them. They're doing... They are in survival. And one of the issues that we talk about in the Curl Academy, when I go into, there's a lecture I have called Heart Cosmetology, Carrie, which is a very fascinating lecture. But it also goes back into where the core of how an extremely profitable industry starts to fall and what is the nature of falling giants. How do they fall? And one of the root is what we call mistrust. And the professional brokerage of the professional, the hairstylists, the smart ones, the real, the ones who are educated, the ones who are exposed, the ones who are, you know. So they, what happens is that I guess how I can say it is, sorry about that, I lost my train of thought.
That's all right.
But, I think it's, we let them down, I guess. And I think to simply say that, we just let them down. So whatever they're doing is in response to that. They're just responding. And Curly Nikki and all the other bloggers and all the other websites and all the do-it, you know, the DIYers, as you would say, call them, they're responding. That may not be, it may not be correct, and it may not serve as a basis to build a stronger industry. It is not, it's not appropriate for data keeping. It's just a people responding to the professional rankers, the body that's entrusted, and that contract, that social contract, Carrie, was broken a long time ago, was violated. So what consumers do is they respond, and so I don't get upset when they say crazy things. I don't get upset when professionals say things that are
that are just not right.
Right. I think I have graduated into the I think I'm into the passion part of my career, and I'm bringing compassion to it, and I'm going to focus on the solution, which is for us to unravel it, throw everything away. You know, and the problem is, too, imagine you and I sitting at a table, we're putting a puzzle together. And then, of course, the puzzle, we decide to mess the puzzle up. Can you imagine trying to put the puzzle together with all the pieces upside down?
Right, exactly.
You don't know what's under there. You don't know what the face is. You don't know where you can't even see.
You can't even start.
Yeah, you can't even see the picture on the fragmented piece that goes connected to another. So, you know, that's where we are. So the advice is to just, that's a very good question, because when you say, oh, try to read as much as you can, wow.
Mm-hmm.
read what, you know.
Right, and then it goes back to,
To contact me and to find a Curl Academy. There's a fabulous woman there, and your protege of mine, her name is Bridget. So she will also And I'm serious, Gary. We got to do that big lecture, the great debate.
Oh, we're going to do some great things. And I'm able to travel out to the West Coast also. Shout out to all of our fans out there in California as well, who tune in and listen to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, yes, go ahead, Cheryl, tell everybody how, if you're interested in finding out about the Curl Academy, what are the best ways they can do that?
They can go to the Facebook page.
All right.
And subscribe. They can personally inbox me, okay? And what we really encourage is for them to be ambassadors, because it's not the goal, you know, because, Gary, I mean, I don't want to travel in every state in the union.
Right.
Even though I'm scheduled to do a lot. But I really want us to band together, trust each other, be in an industry where we feel safe, and to where we can share, and everyone can be their own tribal leader, and to really get this spread across, you know, the world, and for us to represent the 96% of the world's population has some form of curl. This is a pro-curl world. It's not a straight hair world. And they understand, I mean, national...
A pro-curl world. May I borrow that?
Oh, sure. Fine. Not a problem.
Oh, I love that. A pro-curl world.
Right.
That is just fantastic.
This is a curly universe. Everything is born into and goes into a curl. It's a natural phenomenon, sacred geometry. That is the way energy travels, sound travels, music travels, waves travel. That's how life begins and that's how life ends. It goes in and goes out as centripetal. Then it's, you know, it's a great, great. In fact, a pro curl world is a exhibit, you know.
Wow.
And election.
Well, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, right.
Now, I have to also, Cheryl, I have to ask you this, because I think you were the first person who mentioned this name to me eons ago, and it has taken the world many more years before I heard it again, and several years had elapsed. And so I'm working on a new project with this particular individual in mind. So I have to ask you your thoughts on the great Annie Malone. What comes to mind when I mention that name to you?
The first word probably is she is probably the most successful business mogul ever in Black America. She is probably the. She had either... It was either 75 or 50.
75,000, yeah.
Right. And let me just say this. And she had the typical personality, very A personality, very focused, not a very social woman, but very studious and focused, very, very, very regal. And majestic presence, but very focused. Masons in very white male societies loved her. You know, I tell a lot of people that she gets a lot of industry males, Roosevelt, just a very different kind of woman. Very, very, very difficult. Not difficult, but different. And
right.
I didn't mean difficult. Because that's
no, no, she wasn't difficult. The opposite.
Very different.
Yes.
Yeah, very,
right.
Very different. Very different, but driven.
Uh-huh.
That's what comes to mind.
A true
mogul.
With a heart of gold. A true heart of gold. And I've asked several individuals, there's always been, for the layman's, for the folks out here who For those who perhaps are enthusiasts, who are not necessarily in the hair industry, but for folks, we've always known and heard about Madam C.J. Walker and being the first African-American female millionaire. And I've asked others about this, and I'm just curious about your take on it. Does it even matter who was the first between the two? Or why has there been such a big discussion between trying to prove who crossed that line first when they were both friendly with one another and certainly a teacher and a student as well?
Well, here we go again. That is not the truth. And the truth matters because they were not friends. That's a myth. Annie, because of her being started first, the truth is that Madam C.J. Walker was never considered a millionaire. And she died way too soon. She died not even before 1920. And you're talking
right,
about
she died early on.
Yeah, you're talking about Madam Spencer Washington outliving her and out wealthing her, Sarah Spencer Walker.
There were a couple of others.
Yeah, no, well, several others. There was
right.
Garrett Morgan. There was there was a lot of them. There was a lot of them. I think what happened, Carrie, is white America got a hold of a narrative called the $1 million wedding, and that was F.B. Ransom. That was the marketing strategy with F.B. Ransom and Alila Walker, which was the daughter.
Yes.
And I think that allure for Madam C.J. Walker, the allure of Alila Walker, that is where the story was embellished and, of course, miswritten by us. Because, you know, we love to write. And because we don't, and see, here we go again. Yes, it does matter, Carrie, because the reason why it matters is because we're jewels in the truth. How can you wonderfully miss the fact that Madam C.J. Walker became successful at the hands of a black woman's educational institution? That's a jewel,
right.
So you can't miss that. Because
right.
that
well, that is a that's an absolute fact.
That you and I can band together, educate each other, and go to. So it is correct. We need to get the narrative correct. There's another narrative. We need to get the Korean narrative straightened out so we will know how to get ourselves
well,
out of the
you
mess.
Know what? Let's
Find
use this.
Out of the mess.
Absolutely. Well, is there anything you want to add to that as the first line in correcting that narrative? Regarding the Koreans,
I would like to do it in person, but let me just say this.
Okay. Well, you know, that's actually a good teaser, Cheryl. That's a good teaser. We're going to have you guys, and you know what, Cheryl? We may just have to have you come back, and we'll do a part two to this hot topic conversation.
Oh man!
Because
let me tell you, the black hair care story is so mind-blowing how things happen and then how the story was told. And when you get the remix, it's like it's almost like a Saturday afternoon and you don't want to go outside and play because the cliffhangers just keep coming. It's like...
That's right. Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, and when we finally, and let me just say this, I do believe that we do have a collective conscience, and I do believe that we want to get the narratives right, and I do believe that there is precious keys in the story and the truth of our story as we tell it, because there's a wonderful booklet. If you go on Annie Malone, you can go on Amazon and you put Annie Malone, there's a wonderful book written by a friend, a dear friend and colleague of mine, Joel Freeman.
Oh, yes. Joel Freeman, Dr. Freeman, has been on our show.
Yes.
And he's a great friend to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Yes,
you're right. He does a great job. And he's written, I think he updated Annie Malone's book herself that she had written and published.
Yes.
But, yeah, Dr. Freeman is just fantastic. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
Cheryl, now you know we know everybody in the hair business, Cheryl.
Yeah, and then there's a wonderful Harlem historian. There's a Harlem historian. He always wears his hat. He was on Martha Stewart a couple of years ago.
Now, see, I probably don't know that person. Yes, please do.
There's a great story of Mamie Scott, Alila Walker, Rose Meadow Morgan, and that is also who has been buried in Harlem history. You got to dig her up. Rose Meadow Morgan, I think she was just as successful as any of them. Maybe not in the magnitude of Annie Malone, but, oh, my goodness, was she ever successful. She was the toast of Harlem, the toast of the East Coast. And she died recently, actually. And her sister just turned 104, I think, died within the last month or two at 104. But it's a fascinating, she's a New Yorker. Her name is Rose Meta Morgan. She was a former ex-wife of Joe Louis. But fascinating, very hair mogul. And this is wonderful stories that we have to dig up, discuss, and then that can help us find our way back to success.
Cheryl, it's Carrie.
Yes.
And yes, and we continue. Sorry about that. I'll connect this right on. So you go right ahead. So you were speaking about a woman also in Harlem.
Yeah, Rose Meadow Morgan.
Okay.
I want you definitely.
Wow.
To catch up on that, just put that in the search engine, but make sure you want me to send you a couple of links. I will. But anyway, but
that
she's all over
wonderful.
The internet. It's just a wonderful story. Rose Meadow Morgan, please.
Wonderful. We will have to do that. Now, I have to say, and on a lighter note, I don't know how much lighter, but I'm curious about what your take is on all of this that was in the news in recent days. And that is this one individual person, and I'm just curious your feeling on this. I don't know if you've been following this story that made the news recently about Rachel Dolezal,
mm-hmm.
and she's the NAACP person. I forget out of where. I think on the Pacific. I think on the West Coast somewhere. I think.
What is it?
I forget, but yeah, she's. It's definitely not New York.
No.
okay. But now you tell me, what were your thoughts on this? I would just love to know. I know it's definitely off topic, but I'm just wanted to ask you that.
Well, I think the reason why most people ask me that question, because I'm going to answer it in a anthropologic, historical, social, political kind of
context, right?
Just to put it, blackness is something that's extremely attractive. I do believe she felt black
uh-huh.
and still does. I believe uh-huh. she does. And let me just say that she has too many deep-seated issues with her family
uh-huh.
not to have had this issue for a while. She's had this issue for a while. Shown itself or manifested within the last 10 or 12 years. But I really do think, and I mean, we have known people who we say are, yes, she black, but she white, but she black. You've said that so many times. I mean, it's almost like, I hate to say it, but it's almost like we have an uncle. You know what I mean? It's almost like we have somebody in our family that's weird. And if we,
the uncle always, in the attic.
And but they haven't even been in the attic. It's just like, wow, your uncle. You know, but it's the same story as the one somebody's saying, oh, you have a gay uncle, you have a gay aunt. You know, I mean, we've always had a white friend who a white guy dates black women, a black woman dates. I mean, I hate to say, I don't think it's quite that abnormal. But what I do, I do probably, you know, because you have to understand, because, and this is goes to another lecture that I deal with about trust and dealing with us going to a place of bliss and then accomplishing beauty, which is a whole other story. But when we see things, Carrie, through trauma. We see things through terror. It's called terrorism. It's almost like when you hear a firecracker and all you hear is war in Iraq, you don't know the difference between a firecracker, a celebration, 4th of July, from gunfire.
Right.
So shell shock, all of that is the same to you. You don't have a differentiation. You don't have nuanced. You're not nuanced. And my people, black people, are just not nuanced when it comes to self-image, cultural issues. We're not sophisticated. We're too busy surviving, getting from one point to the next point. And I don't think in the issue of fact about her lying, we lie. That's what you have to do in America. So a white woman wanting to be black, to a white family, I'm pretty sure that is not acceptable. So she's not been fighting this for, this is not new. I think she's been dealing with it. It's the same thing as you wanting to be something that you're not. I mean, thank God Tina Marie didn't have to hide it because she went with Jen.
Well, there was a. I've heard the reference to Tina Marie in recent days regarding the Rachel Dolezal case, or you know, but I think there was a big difference because I don't think that she, you know, tried to tell everybody she's black per se. It didn't mean that she couldn't have somewhat a black experience, if you will, through her music and through her connections in music, and being influenced by people of color.
But you have to lie when you're in education. You have to lie when you're in the system. You have to lie when you're in the NAACP. You have to. Music.
Well, Rachel Dolezal clearly.
Yeah, you can't compare music art with the political structure.
Cheryl.
Yeah, but you can be free in music. Think about it. You can be free in music. You don't have to go there because everyone knows you're white. We never believed that Tina Marie sounded black. But
we knew already.
I know, but the point is she never had to hide.
Right, that's correct.
Because the music was art. Hello, it was coming out of Motown.
Exactly.
So, you know, the matter is, if you want to do other things and still be a white woman identifying black, you can't do it. In her mind, it was not just good enough to just be white with your white life and want to be fighting for justice for dark people.
Right.
She had to take on the cosmetic. And let me just say this, and I'm not saying that there is no trauma in her life to create these really extreme reasons why. What I'm saying is that, come on, my people, I mean, come on, we're not really, like, that's not foreign. We've got white people wanting to be black people all day long. We got them talking. I mean, that's not... That's not weird to me. I just don't find it weird. I think she got caught out there before she can probably, I think it would have went over well if she would have come out of the closet and said, I'm a white woman, want to be black, always felt black, wrong in life, wrong body, wrong color. We would have fought for her. We would have fought for her.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to say I agree that she didn't.
Yeah, I think we got kind of, it just didn't happen right.
Didn't happen, no. But I'll tell you something. I think you're right. I don't think she purposely, because she looked so surprised. You cannot fake that level of element of surprise when it was where it was all caught on camera. And she really, it was like you know, someone who's in a trance. Have you ever seen those folks who are hypnotized into thinking that they're, you know, a cat or something, and then they're literally shocked out of it, and their brain can't process it at that moment? And that's what it seemed like was going on with her, that she couldn't process that she wasn't black.
Now listen to the...
That may not have started that way,
now, but
boy, oh boy, that's where it ended.
Yeah, listen to the other argument. Which, of course, this is part of the lecture because we don't have a think tank to bring these things to the table. We don't understand how hard it is to be white. It is extremely hard to be white. You have to lie, pretend, act like you don't see things, act like you don't feel things. Act like you're like, maybe she just was not willing to do that. And what she identified, because we are assuming that to be black is hard. We don't ever ponder what white people go through to be, because it's very hard to go into an office and have to overperform because people expect you to, because you're white. And what kind of psychosis does that create to the point where why she made her choice, wow, this feels better. I like this. I don't really have to pretend. I really can care about people and don't feel funny about caring about people because white people make me feel funny about caring about that little black girl's hair. And I, for some reason, want to go over there and do her hair.
Well, that's what I was – all I remember, the thing that what struck a whole bunch of folks, especially those of us in and around the hair industry, I think her hair told an entire story all by itself, literally. Honestly, there was an actual story, a narrative with her hair.
I know, but think about it. Here we go again. We're not critically analyzing the situation. White people started out curling their hair. We didn't create Marcel. Our name is not Marcel. That's a French name. It's almost like we are so shocked that white people want to be black. Why are we so shocked about that when they started like that? A Hasidic Jew doesn't have a natural springly coil on the side of his head. He makes his hair like that. Why? Because there's another issue, but that's a whole story.
Right, it's a whole other thing, but good point.
But the point is they wore wigs. They always wore their hair up and with height. They always wore that stuff. Why is it weird today that a white person does that? You know why?
Why?
Because it's weird that we do it.
Mm.
And our connection to it is strange. We still can't even get the good and the bad hair right. We still can't even get the N-word right. We don't even have it together.
Mm-hmm.
So when a white person gets their juice in it, at least they get their, then they start getting it in. And then, of course, my father said something very interesting the other day. He said, you want to come over here with us? Yeah. Us? Yeah. He said, well, then come on, Emmy, because you obviously want to come over here bad.
Yeah, in a bad way. And there are folks who are in our community who are trying to, you know, they have an opportunity to relocate, if you will, for lack of a better way to say it. They probably would. So I say I'm proud to be from this community, And you know something, I kind of agree with you. I really applaud the efforts because maybe, like I said, maybe she didn't start with that feeling and that genuine belief system. But boy, you can tell that she certainly got there at some point. And you cannot fake that. And for the work that she's done, sometimes we have to, you know, understand and look at it, you know, for the greater good. And I think that her heart was in the right place, even if she has. I think this is more of an issue where she has more issues that she has to deal with on a personal level with her family than she could ever have with the black community.
And I think that
I was like, oh my, wow.
Some sisters should go over there and just like Key and Pele, I think she needs a black interpreter and say, okay, wow, what she's feeling, y'all, is soul. If you don't have it, she can't explain it. Now, obviously, she has it, and she just can't shake it. And it's the same thing as, I mean, your president is a biracial first president.
Right.
He's not the first black president. He's the first biracial president. The problem is that he identifies with the black part.
Part of that is in a historical context also, you know.
But you can't explain why he looked at Michelle. You can't explain how a person chooses to identify. You just can't explain. You don't know where it is. Is it in the heart vibration, in the mind vibration? Is it in the gender? Is it in the DNA?
Right.
You can't explain that.
Or learned behavior, right.
You shouldn't make other people have to explain that because we're already black. We shouldn't have to. I mean, that's a very Eurocentric way of having a person have to get into the dictionary and define themselves by what, relative to what. Just if they have affinity to do something, we're the greatest friends of liberty. We should allow them to do it. Now, the issues which she has with her parents, then we do have to tell her to go back home and deal with that. But over here, it's all good, girlfriend, because you've done more with your half-blackness than we've done with our whole blackness.
Then now that is it. And
so
on that note,
to,
I have to say.
You do your thing, because at the end of the day, Carrie, we have to ask ourselves as critical analysis this one question. Have ever in history has a black person being in, elevated to a position, and by default that they're black, has rendered the whole collective of black people any privileges, resources, or advantages? Just for the fact that they're black, has anybody been raised to, elected to any position as a black person? Has that ever in history rendered us any resources, advantages, and privileges just by the fact
that we're
in that
position? I've never known that.
That has never happened.
Exactly.
The fact that if we keep a black or white person who wants to have an affinity for blackness, why don't we try that? Because obviously a black person being in a position of city council, mayor, governor, assembly person, a person in the White House, that don't render us no privileges, advantages, or
Well, I agree with you on that too, but I look at it also that this person has completely, she identifies so, I'm going to use this word authentically, if you will, because I think it's something that is going on on a deeper level, so psychologically. So if that's the case, she's done work on behalf of the people with whom she identifies. And that's not a bad thing or hasn't been a bad thing for us. Now, on a personal level, that's why I say it's more of a personal thing. It kind of reminds me of that thing with Hillary Clinton and President Clinton and the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. You know, that's more of a personal type thing. When we saw her family sitting up there on the couch, the mother and the dad, and they look like a missing child. You ever see other people always look where, you know, somebody's missing? That's how they were looking when they were saying that she was saying she wasn't white. mean, I've never. It was a little
and
jarring. I mean, it was just a
also,
different conversation.
I also think politically, we do have to understand that whiteness does not exist. And I think it's falling. Maybe it's the consciousness. Whiteness does not exist. Whiteness was invented by colonists. That it's a class. It actually doesn't exist. Immigrants don't come here as white people. They come here as Italians, or Polish, or Portuguese, or British, or Irish, or Scottish, or they don't Chinese or Korean. People don't come here as a color. And I think that, too, also is a problem as well, because people feel Eric Clapton's been playing the blues with B.B. King, and he swears. But the point is that I do believe you can have a culture inside of you that you do connect with and you resonate with. And unfortunately, you have to be born out of that first family, and that first family has to get used to you wanting to be culturalized and socialized different than the first family you came through. And I think that therein lies the problem.
Wow. Well,
you know,
I have to say, Cheryl,
you
are just a treasure trove of information, and I love, and the reason that we ask you these questions because you really get to the heart of the matter, and you always give us a different perspective. Now, I've got to say, I want to thank you because we're going to have to have you back. This wonderful conversation will continue, and we will definitely get you back here soon on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But I want to turn back to one thing before we say goodbye, and that's to just remind everybody one more time about the Curl Academy.
Curl Academy, go on Curl Academy Facebook, the Facebook page, Curl Academy, and please reach out to me, converse with me, and like us, and subscribe, and make sure that you write down the next Google Hangout, and just keep listening to Hair Radio.
Oh, we love
rock,
it.
Man, you rock.
Thank you. Back at you. Now, any shout-outs this morning?
I want to shout out to my wonderful friend and colleague, Bridget of Hair Church. You guys got to go on hairchurch.com. You guys are going to love Hair Church. And Carrie, that's going to be probably another interview. Hair Church.
I love that
It's
name.
Literally
wow.
a hair church.
All right.
With a bishop.
Hair Church.
With a preacher, with a pastor and everything. And I know it's weird, but it is Hair Church.
All
She's
right.
got the hair manment. And everything. Her name is Bridget Vicente. She is the CEO and president and pastor of the Hair Church. So that's www.hairchurch.com.
We will get her on this show.
That's my shout out.
All right. Well, listen, Cheryl, as always, you know your family here to the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we just adore you here.
All right.
So you're a part of us.
Oh, man.
So listen, we will.
Big hug and kiss to you, Carrie.
Oh, well, thank you. And I can't wait. So when you come out here or when I come out there, we're going to get some shows together and we're going to just continue what we're doing.
So listen. So you are volunteering to moderate?
Oh, absolutely.
The debate?
Anytime.
Are you going to moderate
anytime.
The debate?
Anytime. You know I'm good with all of that. You just have to call me.
Okay.
You just have to call me and we'll cover it on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, okay?
Oh, you got it. My pleasure. Thank you so much for being here. Folks, keep it right here. There's a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come. Stay with us.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Thank you so much for having me again. I feel like that this is just my second home, so I'm
Well, it is. It is. I just have to say, first of all, I want to definitely take a moment to acknowledge this. I mean, you have always been our biggest supporters. You really have here at the Hair Radio Show and throughout all of our endeavors. And I want to take a moment just to really kind of drive this on home. I remember you appeared in my, well, first of all, you appeared on the amazing Hair Radio Show as we were just kind of getting back on the ground with the all-new Hair Radio Show back when we came back in like the early, I guess that was the late 2000s, I guess it was. It's been a long time of the tens.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You came right on in and have always been a great person. We still run some of those amazing pieces with so much. They're chock full of hair information. And we're going to get into some of that today, but I just want to thank you for that. Not to mention your appearance in my book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. You helped that book to do so well. And I have to say, for those of you who haven't read it yet, it's still out there on Amazon. We'll soon be celebrating 10 years of this book's release. And I owe a whole bunch of that to Dr. Praneet James. So I just wanted to say thank you. And you've been doing some big stuff. And, you know, how about when you came out to help us at the Road to Healthy Hair, the very first Road to Healthy Hair? And, yes, in like 2013 or so. I mean, you've been out there a long time with us. And now we're back with the all-new Road to Healthy Hair that we'll talk about soon. So listen, all that to say thank you. But, Praneet, what goes through your mind when you hear that we're up to our 600th radio show very soon? What goes through your mind?
Oh, my goodness. A lot goes through my mind. And just to think that I've been able to contribute. And Carrie, I just want to thank you for the opportunity or giving me an opportunity to be such a part of an amazing history with the Hair Radio. You know, I thank you. And you've opened up the doors for so many in this industry.
You.
And just
thank
to be
you.
A part of it, so, to say, hey, I was a part of it. I'm a part of it. I'm grateful for that. So that's pretty much what runs through my mind, being grateful to be a part
of it. You are very much deserving. So thank you. And we are happy to be here to be doing our thing. 600 broadcasts of a three-hour show. That's amazing. Now, listen, speaking of amazing, let's turn the mic back over to Dr. James here. Listen, you have done quite a bit, and officially you are a trichologist. So I have got to tell the folks, and not just a trichologist, which is awesome and wonderful, we love that, but also a naturopathic doctor, correct? I want to make sure I'm saying it right.
Yeah.
And so, yes, and these things, I want you to tell our audience, tell everybody, Dr. Praneet James, because maybe some may not understand exactly what a trichologist does versus a naturopathic doctor and all of that. Fill us all in here at the Hair Radio Show.
Absolutely. Well, a trichologist, Carrie, is someone who has studied the science of hair and the scalp. So I do work very closely with men, women, and children suffering from various scalp disorders, hair loss, or just in general trying to get their hair to a healthy state. Now, I decided to take it a step further with my naturopathic background, taking that multi-therapy approach, because about 97% of the patients I treat have a nutritional deficiency, which, of course, contributes to the hair loss. So I like to get to the core versus, you know, spinning the wheels of the, you know, the patient or the consumer. A lot of consumers do not realize that the hair is the barometer of your health. So a lot of times if you have issues stemming from the scalp or your hair just suddenly starts to fall out, it's something that needs to be redirected to the body system. So that's the approach I use. And by me using that approach, I have a very successful or a very phenomenal success rate.
I have to say this. When you say the hair is the barometer to the hair, I start, you know what went through my mind? I thought to myself, I said, well, hold it. What is gray hair, the barometer? Is that the barometer that you get in old, Gary? Well, I couldn't help but think that. But listen, I understand. I'm making fun. But you know what? You have such, you've hit on such important points there, Dr. Bernice. I just have to say, and you're absolutely right. I have to talk about some of these, you know, when it comes to hair loss, we have to let folks know on some of those wonderful descriptive, what do they call, like, you know, for the one that, like, for abuse, when people are abusing their hair and they start to, their hair falls out and all of that thinning, you know, it starts to thin and so forth, and then they sometimes, let's go back. Let's start with the alopecia. Just give us a breakdown, a rundown, Dr. James, of some of these alopecias that are out there. There are too many to actually list, but, you know, but give us a few.
Yeah, there are quite a few. But
yes.
We'll kind of touch on the most typical types of alopecia that
I see.
Pretty much on an everyday, you know, basis within my practice, one being alopecia areata, which is normally misdiagnosed. And that's important, too, being diagnosed properly. Because a lot of times patients that come into my office that have previously visited a dermatologist, and just to kind of point out, derma means skin and trich means hair. So a lot of times we're going to the dermatologist, and they're taking more so a synthetic approach. Providing you with cortisone injections and so forth, and just in general being misdiagnosed. So when we think of alopecia areata, alopecia in general is when your hair follicle starts to attack the immune system. It doesn't recognize when something is out of range within your body, your immune system doesn't recognize the hair follicle, so it starts to attack the hair follicles. That's what causes the hair loss. So that's alopecia. Alopecia is hair loss. Now, when we get into alopecia areata, alopecia areata is a perfect mosaic circle that can appear anywhere on the head, okay? And normally when that happens is when someone has experienced traumatic or chronic stress. I find that to be very typical in a case where someone works for the government, or they work for high-stress jobs, wherein this is just part of their norm every day, in and out, chronic stress. So a lot of times they'll, you know, come in the office and they have this perfect mosaic circle that appear in the back of their head, on the side, on the top. But the way that you identify alopecia areata is a perfect circle, okay? And if it goes untreated, it can go into alopecia totalis, where they lose all facial hair.
Yeah.
Hair on the head and the facial hair. If it goes untreated, then it can go into what is called alopecia universalis, wherein they lose all
everywhere.
Exactly. So that's a very common form. The second form that I'm seeing very typical within the African American community is traction alopecia. Traction alopecia is
that's the one I was trying to think of earlier.
Yes,
yes, the traction alopecia. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So traction alopecia is when you've caused trauma to the hair follicle, tight braids, glue, overprocessing of chemical, you know, relaxers, et cetera. So if it's caught in its earlier stages, of course, it can be, you know, restored if you had about a 50%. Also, a lot of consumers do not realize that the hair loss actually happens in stages, just like any major disease, stages 1 through 4. So my patient and I conduct a microscopic analysis. So that tells me exactly what stage they're in, what, you know, whether or not the follicles are dormant, you know, if they have any activity, you know, et cetera. So that's the second form. And the last one I want to kind of discuss is, and, you know, of course, there's so many. We can go on and on. But for time's sake purposes, I would probably address androgenetic alopecia, where it's genetically inclined. And it can form in two different types of shapes or types. You have male pattern baldness or patterns, male pattern baldness or female pattern baldness. Now, it's not uncommon that a male can have female pattern baldness, okay? That's when you maintain the hairline and the hair loss starts behind the hairline. Okay, and then, of course, you have male pattern baldness, kind of reminds you of George Jefferson, you know, type shape.
The donut.
Okay? Yeah, exactly. So that's how you identify the type of hair loss. Now, normally, if you know that hair loss, you know, occurs in your family, it is hereditary, you want to start to take those proactive steps to protect the hair follicle, to care for the hair, you know, et cetera. But those are the most commonly forms. Of course, we can get into scarring alopecia, which is normally misdiagnosed. But that can be caused by chemical damage, pressing combs, and a lot of toxins built up within the follicle. Yeah, so.
Well, I love it. I mean, I appreciate the information, so I do love that you're sharing this, because that is the thing in the community. We don't take the time. We just want what we want. We want the styles. We want this. We want that. And we don't take enough time with our hair until it's sometimes too late. But I appreciate you taking a moment to share. Dr. Pranit James is our guest today on the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I've also got to say, Dr. James, I am so excited because we've launched our 24-hour network of hair and beauty talk. So if you're not listening live, you're listening back to our amazing playback on our 24-hour network. So that's over at HAIRadio.com, where we play hair and beauty talk around the clock. So I just want to say you're of the first to be with us again as we have relaunched this 24-hour network. So is that not just awesome?
That is amazing. I'm so excited. Yes. Thank you so much.
You've got it. Now, I have to turn to, in recent times, you've come back to the Hair Radio Show, our blog talk show, and we've talked about this a little bit from time to time, but I really want to delve into it. Now, a lot of folks are dealing, let me just kind of change over a little bit to beard care. Beards are big. Big business. Yeah, and I did not know that it was going to be this big when I set out to create my products. So I want to talk about your products now, Dr. Pranit James. Yes. So, yes, and I want to talk about all of this that you have discovered in the beard. I call it the beard business. So tell us what this is all about. And who is the beard huntress? Fill us in. Dr. Pranit James, fill us in.
Yes. Let me start off to say, Carrie, that a lot, especially within our industry, a lot of stylists are really sleeping on the beard industry. Right now, the beard industry is over a $23 billion industry and is expecting to rise at about 7.7% by 2025. So if you are not within the industry, if you are not engaging within beard care, you need to. So I want to start off, you know, just as for the business side of it, definitely is worth taking a look at. From that perspective, me as the beard huntress, let me get into that. That actually started out as a really fun project for me because, you know, I'm normally serious and a serious
Yes.
So for me to look, that's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right? Looks like one. But what, you know, what I do. So I started out in the beer industry about 3 years ago. I branded myself as the Beer Huntress. My tagline has always been, why trust your beard to anyone else? And then when I came out with this really fun and trendy logo, it's like, oh my God, what is Dr. Pranit James doing? Like I said, it's a fun project, but as I got into it, Carrie, I realized that, hey, the beard is hair, right? So
yes,
that's the approach that I took, even with formulating my beard care line. I took that scientific trichology approach. Now, I already had a brand that recognized and it was trusted. You know, people knew me for growing the hair back. When they had a hair issue, they would come to me to help restore the hair. So the
exactly
same thing, that's the approach I took. And even with me formulating my beard care line, I formulated my beard care line around the science of the hair. So that's why my, you know, my beard gentlemen, they're seeing such amazing results. You know, they want their beard to grow. You know, they want to fill in those areas that are not connecting. They have bald patches. The beard is dry. It's the same thing as the hair. So, again, I took that approach and I formulated my, you know, beard care line to promote that fast beard growth. It, you know, repairs, it activates the hair follicle, it softens, it conditions, and it's going to provide that gentleman with a healthy, shining luster. So throughout the duration of my career, I just kind of listened prior to formulating my own line. I kind of listened to the many challenges that the gentlemen were experiencing, and that's kind of how I formulated the line. And at the end of the day, when my customers, when these bearded gentlemen use my line, I can be confident that they're going to actually achieve the goals that they desire for their beard. And at the end of the day, the beard is always the hair, the bearded hair and the skin is always going to go back to its proper pH of 4.5 to 5.5. I look at everything as a trichologist in numbers. If it doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense. So that's how I look at it.
Well, very good. And what I'd like to add to that is that you don't have to have your own Dr. Pradeep Jase, but you know, as a scientist, as a person who is in, you are the official trichologist as far as I'm concerned. And you know the hair business, so we love it. And I love the products, you know, so I want to tell everybody, absolutely, let's talk about the products a little bit. Give the official name and describe some of the products that you have released in this line. We're not going to keep it a secret. Go ahead and tell everybody.
Absolutely not. My particular product line, and I'll get into what I'm releasing. I'm going to let it out the hat today. My original beard care line I launched 2 months ago. I did a pre-sale, and as soon as I put it out there, Carrie, it sold out completely. So I'm like, okay,
wow.
Oh my God. So that was confirmation that I'm doing the right thing. But getting more into my beard care line, my original line consists of 6 products, okay? Of course, I have the beard wash. It's for all beard types. So that's going to cleanse and hydrate the beard, especially right now during the hotter months. It's very important that my bearded gentlemen shampoo their beard every day, especially if they're really active, they perspire a lot, they exercise, they work out, because the sweat from the minerals of the sweat deposits on the hair shaft or the beard shaft, and it makes that beard very dry and brittle. So it's very important to have a clean, clear foundation before coming in with any of the products. So that's going to take care of the itchiness, properly cleanse. So that's the first product, and that comes in an 8.8 ounce. A lot of the lines that I see on the market, they're pretty much offering maybe a 4 ounce or 6 ounce.
Exactly, yeah. So you're giving a lot. You're really giving a lot of product.
Exactly, and by my product line being highly concentrated, they don't have to use a whole lot. So my products will last them anywhere, depending upon the length and the density of the beard. It can last that gentleman anywhere between 3 to 12 months. So
that's amazing.
It's very cost effective as well.
Exactly.
So second product I've added to my line is also an 8.8 ounce beard conditioner. The beard conditioner, a lot of times when you look at a beard care line, they skip over the conditioner. Normally they'll do like a balancing shampoo that has the conditioner built in. Mm-hmm. And I understand that the gentlemen, guys, are they don't like fussy, and I understand.
No, we don't like fussy.
Yeah, you don't like fussy. It's very simple. But even by taking the necessary steps to build the proper pH of the beard shaft, my regimen only takes 5 minutes if followed properly. So coming in with conditioner, I added a conditioner. Like I said, I designed it around the science of the hair. There's no way possible that you can bring that beard shaft to the proper pH level by using a balancing shampoo. Okay. So you want to come in and properly cleanse first. Once we take everything out, now we want to replenish. Okay. So my beard conditioner is going to come in and moisturize and condition that beard. And by the way, all of my products are 100% natural. They're derived from natural products, okay? So you don't have to worry about any type of irritation and so forth. So that's going to add that slip to that.
Yes.
Okay? So you let that sit in for a few minutes, rinse, okay? And now we're moving into the beard serum, okay? That's another product that's lacking out of a lot of the lines. And I'm not bashing lines. I just kind of step back to see what I needed to add to my line, listening to the challenges and seeing what was going on with my, you know, bearded kings and, you know, what they needed, okay? So the third product is a one-ounce beard serum. you're probably saying 1 ounce. That's not
one,
a lot.
Yeah, that sounds like a little drop.
However, again, keep in mind, you do not have to use a lot of my product.
Mm.
The length and the density of the beard, someone with a smaller beard, like a goatee, they only need to use
right.
one pump, okay? And that's the beard serum. And they'll apply
mm.
that. That's designed to detangle the beard. That's designed to come in and soften that beard. And especially a lot of the guys get really tangly and they're really
yes,
forced.
Yes, that's what I suffer from. Right. Yes, yes.
Right, by the neckline. That
yeah.
serum is going to help to loosen it up and elongate those hair, their
yes.
hair shafts right underneath as well. So I designed that beard serum to do so. So a lot of the guys, they love the beard serum, okay, because it
wow.
keeps the beard shiny and smooth, and that also.
Now, what about the smell of these products? What about the smell of these products, Dr. Pernique James?
I designed it as a very, sure. I designed it around like a sandalwood type smell.
Mm.
So it's soft, it's manly, but it's not too much. What I'm finding, you know, you don't want to be
not too sweet.
It's not too sweet. It's very manly. It kind of reminds
yeah.
me of Armani type fragrance.
Mm, okay. All right.
soft, but it's not overpowering. So you have a lot
right.
of that are signature fragrances. So getting in offering a lot different fragrances and, you know, and so forth is just too much. So I decided to stick with my signature fragrance, which is very appealing. I've gotten nothing but raves about it. The guys love it. And it doesn't, you know, interrupt what they currently wear.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
Back to that
yes.
beard serum. I also designed my beard care line to cater to color-treated beards in gray. Because a lot of times you use in mind, I'm seeing a lot of beard oils on the market that are different colors, and they're doing all
right.
different. You have to keep in mind with gray beards, if you add colors, you know, or color oils and different things, and try to add all these different fragrances, sometimes that can discolor the beard. So if it's white
exactly.
and you add red oil, what you're going to have? A pink beard, right?
Exactly.
I kept that in mind as well. So when I formulated my product line, I designed it to, and I incorporated UVA and UVB protectants to protect the beard shaft from environmental damage and also to even out the porosity of the beard. So coming in with that serum is very important not to skip that step. So
I
following the beard serum, we're going to come in with the beard oil, okay? And it is a beard growth oil, so it's also going to help to promote fast beard growth and keep that skin underneath properly nourished without clogging. The base of it is
that's important
oil.
Too. Yeah.
Yes, very, very important. Jojoba oil is that's just one of you know my ingredients within. Is a universal oil.
Yes.
You know, you may think you know I'll use coconut oil and so forth. You have to be careful with coconut oil because coconut. Keep in mind when coconut oil gets cold. Or the temperature.
Oh, yeah. It's solid.
This beard, you know,
it's yeah.
always staying airy. So that's another product. That's a 2 ounce.
It's like ounce. The coconut oil knows exactly when it's wintertime. I don't know how it does, but it does.
Yes, yes. And if it's hardening, you got to think of what it's going to do to the beard shaft.
Exactly.
The follicle
exactly.
itself.
Exactly.
That is a 2 ounce beard growth oil, and then of course I have the balm. I love balm. I love the texture of it. Then you know, working with beard care lines for you know
yes.
2 years, you know, a lot of the beard balms that I've worked with was kind of gritty.
Exactly.
I just find it to be very smooth. It melts. I say it melts in your hand and also the beard. So my guys love that. It gives it the proper hold without overpowering and being greasy and heavy. And it gives it that nice illumination.
Finish.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. And then, of course, that's a 2 ounce. Again, you don't have to use a whole lot.
Wow.
And then my last product within my signature line is my aftershave. Very, very important. With the ingrown hairs, also they can use it as a shaving lotion to touch up their, you know, the edge of their beard. A lot of barbers that I see that I work with and kind of mentor, they're using the razor on dry skin, not
right.
realizing that's damaging the surface of the skin. So you do need something to help moisturize, add that moisturization and hydration back into the skin itself and hair. the skin. And also it helps with the ingrown hairs, the bumps. And
the things we don't like. Yes.
Yes.
But it's important, yes.
I designed my beard care line, you know, I think I really had a phenomenal solid foundation. That is my original line. And then I will be next month when I appear at the Bronner Brothers hair show, I'm going to be releasing my Beard Huntress exclusive line. And I'm really excited about that because that's going to consist of my beard growth spray. That's going to go a little bit more in detail and helping these guys really connect and target those, you know, hair follicles and get the beard to grow in a whole lot fuller and so forth, and to help to also nourish, you know, that skin.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch. A new and better way to connect with your clients.
This is Louis Martinet, and I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Purple Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Gary Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Friday morning. It's August 6th of 2021. It's our broadcast number 597 that you're listening to. Wanted to kind of touch on, just go back a little bit. There was a couple of interviews that aired earlier, and I just want to clarify. For Dr. Pernique James, she was referring to quite a few things, and just to be very clear, and even before that, I wanted to make certain that everybody is aware about the Road to Healthy Hair that was scheduled in Atlantic City. As for many of you guys who listen to us each day, you know that we've been talking about the event that was originally scheduled in August and then moved to October. And this week, we had to just postpone the event without a new date being released just yet. We are working on all of that, and we will be bringing it to you. So there are a lot of references to our events, as you would imagine, with some of these wonderful flashback interviews that we've been airing for the last week or so. Coming up, speaking of which, we have one with Detroit's Carl Reed. Now, Carl Reed is a hair industry legend in his own right. And he's been with us on many, many shows, particularly leading into the Hair Nation Expo that was the inaugural at the Atlantic City venue space that we were. So really, really, really nice things. And I really think getting his interview on again, along with Howard from the Male Cosmetology Association, you're going to enjoy that particular interview, because then I kind of, you know, really asked him quite a few questions with regards to a male cosmetology association in this Me Too environment and so many things going on where gender is not the leading concern, to have a cosmetology association that's called the Male Cosmetology Association. So I wanted him to clarify all of that. So that is on the way, and again, that's Howard, so listen out for that. And Carl Reed, quite a bit from Carl Reed between now and next week. We'll get some of those on. As I said, we are trying to kind of going back over some of the wonderful memories leading up to our 600 broadcast that will be next Friday, 1 week from today. It's Friday, August 13th of 2021. We'll be celebrating right on the air for 3 hours. It's a big celebration. We've asked some of our fan favorites to come back and help me to celebrate. So it's our 600th radio broadcast for the live radio shows, not repeat episodes, not special recordings or any of that. Live broadcast, 600. So that's going to be really exciting. Super, super excited about it. We talked a little bit about Center Stage, I believe, yesterday. I just wanted to go over that again this morning for you guys out there. We've been working behind the scenes on relaunching my very, very first radio show that was done on the East Coast. I had already done radio out in Hollywood, but my first East Coast radio show was called Center Stage. And on it, I had some amazing guests, and this was back 25 years ago. We had the folks, Carsey Warner, who were on the show. Back then, they used to produce Roseanne and The Cosby Show. We also had Lil Susie, who was an artist out of the Northeast who sang a certain genre of music called freestyle. We also had, and again, Montel Jordan was on that particular program as well, Center Stage, in addition to CeCe Peniston, who had made her first appearance on our first interview with her. So lots and lots of folks did Center Stage, and the whole idea behind it is so that if you are looking to start a career in show business, then this is where you would tune into to get the kind of information. It's the same setup as the Hair Radio Morning Show, except instead of hair talk per se, we're talking about the music industry, or we're talking about the entertainment industry, which is a much broader in scope. So please stay tuned for that. Listen out for it. We'll probably launch it right here on our three-hour broadcast and then roll it on into our 24-hour, seven-day-a-week network over at hairradio.com. Also, you know, just a couple of little announcements. Now, listen, I want to talk about the vaccine, folks. I do want to talk about that. We'll take a little bit of a music break. Once we come back, we are going to we have to do the talk on this. So I hope you're with us. Lots to get to this morning. We've got a lot to go. Stay with us.
See how I will leave with every partner.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and most of you know who we are from being in and around the hair business for 25 years. It is my great pleasure and honor to welcome this gentleman to our broadcast. This is also the launch of our daily podcast, I should say, Mr. Howard Baker. You are the person behind this new organization or association, I should call it, the Male Cosmetologists Association. And so I just wanted you to come on and share your thoughts, and let's have some discussion around this topic. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Carrie. Good afternoon, and thank you again for having me this afternoon on your broadcast.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Mr. Baker, so you are a licensed cosmetologist in what state? Where are you guys located?
I am in the state of Georgia, and I have been licensed for 33 years. I operate in the Atlanta area, but more concentrated the Tucker area. It's called Tucker, Georgia, but it's a little concentrated area that's considered Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Well, awesome, and we want to shout out all of my amazing Hair Radio Morning Show fans in and around that vicinity community down there. Now, listen, I want to kind of jump right on in. Why an association for men?
The Association for Men is basically, it's a brotherhood that has been formed to just enrich the male cosmetologist, and we are a great number in a huge industry that's dominated mostly by women stylists. So we felt a need to create an association, a brotherhood of male licensed cosmetologists, and the key word is licensed, to protect us and build us up and just create more of, we're not a fraternity, we're not a Greek organization, but just that feel of an organization of that type, so we can promote education, brotherhood, and inspiration.
Awesome. Now, you say that, you know, that the industry itself, the hair industry, hair beauty industry, is dominated by women. And you say this is pretty much why you formed this amazing new entity. So can you explain to us a little bit, like kind of explain some of the ways you feel that perhaps it's a little unleveled and why this was so necessary?
Well, you know, of course, you know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And I would feel, and I know it's probably true if we look at statistics, that the huge percentage of the industry is run or operated or licensed by women. And the men, we are just as strong, but we have to come together and bring a unity and a strength amongst ourselves. So because everybody can be an alpha and everybody is individual, a lot of us have entered into a trade and maybe didn't go to college and had that desire to be a part of a fraternity, which was myself. I always wanted to be a part of a fraternity. So I was at one point going to college just to be a part of a fraternity.
Wow.
Right. And so, but then this opportunity came. So just to give you a synopsis of it, our founder, who is Darnell Sullivan, who was a hairstylist and operated, he actually worked here in Atlanta for some time. He had the idea to come up with this group, and we started out just as a Facebook group, and we were posting pictures and getting likes and things of that nature, and then it formed into the need of an association because we all had that feeling like we need to create a brotherhood where we would have an umbrella that we can all be under and support one another if it was a need for enlighten us in areas of weakness of education or if we needed an inspiration if we were down at times or if we just needed a need to just be together. And, you know, you're always stronger in numbers. You can stand strong alone, but we're stronger together. So,
absolutely. Wow. Well, I think it's – yes, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say what jumps out at me is that You know, there. I guess there are reasons that the industry has been dominated by women. There are some who say, well, you're doing hair, and that's more so associated with females. Let's just say that. So if that's the case, wouldn't it only be natural that you have an industry that is dominated by women? And should it be dominated by women? Because with all the these movements and things that we are looking at now, it's a different day. So what do you say to that?
Well, it should be an industry that is for everyone. And if you want to have a creativity that you bring to the forefront, no matter if you're a man or a woman, you should be able to do it. Of course, you have to deal with stigmas that come along with being a male hairstylist, and those are slowly diminishing because it is a new day. It's 2019. Hooray for whoever you want to be. Let's just respect one another, and we all have our boundaries. But in this organization, we're setting a standard of integrity, and it's not bound by if you're black, white, straight, gay, purple, whatever. Just let's fall over under an umbrella of integrity that first we're men, and then we are licensed professionals, and we're coming together to stand together as a brotherhood. So if you need support, here we are for you, and that's what we're about.
Awesome. Now, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What if a female wished to join your organization? Is it accepting?
At this, no, it's not, because we are an organization of male licensed cosmetologists. And we've already been asked that, why you have an organization for just men? Because there's a need for us to build us up so we can be stronger for ourselves and be stronger in any area of our lives. If it's in our households, in our relationships, in marriages, in business, then that is the need for us. Everybody, and it's not a point of, and let me get the right word that I want to use, and it's skipping my mind right now, but there are organizations that are just for men, that are just for women, and then there's organizations that's for everybody. So, hey, go join the organization for everybody right here. We are concentrating to build up licensed male cosmetologists and in the forefront protect the hair industry that is slowly being dissected by our government deregulating areas, you know, small areas, they're slowly deregulating it, where everything that we've invested over the years, and my, even myself, after 33 years of being a licensed cosmetologist, I have the honor of, I don't have to take any CEU classes to renew my license. That's one of the perks. I've been in it so long, I should know what I'm doing. I don't have to do that any longer, and that's at least in the state of Georgia. I don't know what the other states in our nation offer, but that's what they do here.
Right. It varies from state to state. I do want to turn back to this. I think it's awesome. And just to play devil's advocate, because the thing is that some could argue, well, there are a lot of folks who are now who are cosmetologists, and they may be transgender, and they have maybe are now living a life as a male. Would that be considered someone who would qualify for membership?
That is a good question. And at this point, we are in the discussion portion of developing a division that is LGBTQA equivalent. So we would be able to address that. So at this point, it's because we're still on a ground floor starting, that is an area that we have to look at all the sensitivity of it, because we don't want to turn anyone away or turn anyone off, especially in that area, because
awesome.
you have to understand people where they are. You have to meet them where they are. If
exactly. Now, may I just – yes, I'm sorry. Mr. Baker, I was going to offer a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and this is also our new launch of our podcast. And so I'm grateful to have Mr. Howard Baker, who's one of the gentlemen behind this amazing new association. It's called the Male Cosmetologist Association, and they're based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And we always like to introduce our audience to the folks out there who are making waves in this industry. And so the conversation goes this way. I'm looking at the idea of inclusivity. Now, I think it's awesome to have a focus on promoting the industry amongst the men who are also contributing greatly to this, equally in some cases. So I think to also set up some kind of way where even I think that there are women who will greatly support the Male Cosmetology Association, given that they can also participate in some way. And I think that that's important. The name never has to change as long as the message is that of inclusivity, so it can be a betterment for all of the hair industry. And I mm-hmm. think that's what you kind of were leaning towards and what it sounded like to me. So I want to say I know I don't want folks to ever think that you're not trying to take everything in from the folks out there who want to give their appreciation to you. And I'm sure that your association will find a way to work with within the framework of the folks out there who are trying to do that.
Carrie, you are absolutely right. We are open to every conversation, every idea, and every opportunity to bring the Male Cosmetologists Association to the forefront. So I'm sure we'll be creating avenues for advisors or even positions on our board that will be held by anyone, whether you're a man or a woman,
exactly.
or transgender. So that just to not to digress too much, but if you presented yourself and you're living your life as a man and you were once a female, then that's what you were once. Here you are today. You are a male. You're licensed, and that's how you're legally living, then you accept it. There's no problem. But we are still, everything, every idea, every concern goes to our board, and we address it, and we
awesome.
Decide if it's something that needs to be brought to the forefront, because we have things on our platform that we're building now. That is the student division. That's global presence. There's going to be a barber stylist division. And I know, because it is 2019, that the transgender, the gay and homosexual and lesbian and the queer community have to be addressed as well, because let's face it, in our industry, everybody's not gay. Some are straight. Some are non-binary. Some are queer, however they address themselves. But what are they? They're licensed male cosmetologists, and they
exactly.
can be a part of us. And that is no problem. Just
while
what we're asking.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, no,
just what we're asking when we get to a point of an event or whatever, just respect what we have set as the integrity of the group and come with that, because we just want to respect it.
Absolutely. And see, I feel that this is a microcosm of what is a need that exists today. When I look at the way that African-American men are treated and society in large. And I said, my goodness, this really, that's what it speaks to me. So, you know, we kind of, I don't think anybody would argue, especially in our community, that the gentleman, you know, we need a little bit different focus right now. And we absolutely have to come together. All of us got to come together. But I think we need a little bit more, you know, I'm not going to turn away a pat on the back or a moment to recognize that we, you know, are coming together and really supporting each other. I think it's a good thing. And I think your organization, your association, if you will, is a great place for those who are in cosmetology and would like to join the Male Cosmetology Association to do so. Now, before we go too far, I do want to share, I know you're just kind of getting the website together and getting your board and getting everything together, and it's great to introduce you guys, and I'm glad you came on, even at this early point, to be a guest on our show, to start folks thinking about this, because this is really important. There are many shows out there that take a moment to focus on the female cosmetologist. But not too often do I get a chance to really focus on the male cosmetologist.
Thank you for doing that.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to talk about some other ways. And then later, a little later on, and we can perhaps delve into the deregulation in some states and all of that. That is a big thing that's kind of going on out there in the industry. And we pay close attention to all of that. If you've just joined us, you are listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, on the line with me is Mr. Howard Baker. Now, he is one of the folks behind the Male Cosmetologist Association. Now, they are located in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And if there's anyone new to the line, feel free to jump right on in and be part of our conversation today, or feel free to just listen if you wish. So, Mr. Baker, before we just took a moment to recognize who we are, we call a station announcement, we're kind of talking about the association that you're a big part of. And as I said, we'll get into some of the deregulation, but I also want to kind of talk about some of the things that you feel that are different for men than women in the industry. And it could be big or small. I'm just curious as to some of the things. I mean, I can think of a few different ways. And also, does this new Me Too movement, does it affect how the men in the industry relate to women? Because there's a whole different movement, as you know. So what's your take on that? And feel free, anyone else joining us, to join on in with the conversation. Mr. Baker.
Well, there shouldn't be a big difference between a male stylist and a female stylist, but it's just a preference and it's a choice. There are women that only want men to touch their hair, and they feel that they do a better job because it can be a bottom line or underlying opinion that a woman is not going to do your hair as good as a man is going to do it because she doesn't want you to look as good as her. I differ with that because we're in a profession. And it's my job to make you look good and feel good.
I've heard that too. I have to be honest. I've heard that.
Right.
Where does that come from? I mean, it's
crazy.
I have no idea.
It does. I have no idea. But you have your salons that are women owned, or you have your movements that is, you know, I'm woman, hear me roar, and that's that type of woman that needs that build up, and that's where they go. If you have a woman that wants to be with a male stylist that makes her feel wonderful, fabulous, or he builds her up in her self-esteem, then that's where she sits and that's where she shares her money with him. It's all a part of who you are. And I have a strong feeling that a lot of our clientele is built on our personality. So who you are is what you attract. If you're fabulous, then you attract the fabulous. If you are just middle of the way, then that's what you attract. It just depends on who you are and how you maintain and what you retain as far as the clientele.
Wow.
I want us to all be under one umbrella. We're all licensed cosmetologists, and let's build each other up. We're just concentrating with this association with the men.
Well, awesome. Now, on to that point. Now, have you seen a change in how you kind of deal with, you know, females versus guys at the shop? I know you mentioned about some who prefer a male over a female or vice versa, but have you noticed, have any of your clients even commented, or have they even talked about a change, or is it just really business as usual?
To me, I feel it's business as usual. And again, I think it's just a preference. If you sat in that chair and it didn't fulfill your needs, then you get in another one. And
uh-huh.
I think it's just a basis of that.
Awesome.
It's, again, I'm not trying to separate men from women. What we're trying to do is build up the men. And that's what we want to do with the association.
Awesome. If you've just joined us again, I'm Carrie Hines, and this is the Hair Radio Show. It is my pleasure to have this conversation today, and we'll be doing so at about this time each day, and we'll be kind of broadcasting this across, we have like about 7 or 8 different platforms, which include Spotify and Google and quite a few others, and you'll be able to Google this on just the internet, period, and be able to locate this broadcast. And so I'm really, really excited. And of course, we're returning to regular daily broadcasting on Blog Talk in the very near future, in which we will be on from 6 in the morning till 9 Eastern. Mr. Baker, I want you to stay with us. We're going to talk a little bit more, and I do want to switch it up a little bit. I want to ask you about the deregulation and how you feel about that. We're talking about cosmetology today and men in cosmetology, but we're also talking about some of the broader things that are affecting the industry. But before we move along, I just wanted to double-check if there's anyone else who's joined us on the line. This is a great time to speak up and just say hello, and any thoughts that you might like to share on the industry today, we'd love to hear from you. And you're welcome to just listen. Okay, as we continue on. So, Mr. Baker, let's turn to deregulation. We know that it varies state to state, and you know, and for me, being a person who has followed the hair and beauty industry since 1995 closely, you know, for every turn, I keep in touch with the folks out in Texas. I keep in touch with the different states and those who require that you continue your education and those who don't, and the rules that change from, you know, they require barbers to do this, they require for natural hair to do that, they require for braiders to do this and this state and not that state and this state and that state and so forth and so on. It's a big, big thing. And I wish that it was for me, and I'm not in the industry on the level that you guys are. I'm in a different way, in a totally different area. But for me, it seems that to have something a little bit more on a, you know, to have it perhaps federally regulated, to me, seems the best way to ensure that you would have the same kind of quality across the board. But that's me. How do you feel with all the deregulation, in your opinion, that's going on? What do you say?
Well, I believe it's being attacked from both ways. You have the deregulation done by legislatures of each state where they are taking portions of what we have had to learn and maintain for years and say, no, you don't, like you just mentioned, that we don't have to have that any longer. If it's braiders, if you don't have to have a license to do that, because I believe they can't capture every dollar that we make, so why not just find a way to tax all of it some other different kind of way. Here in the state of Georgia, we have a senior advocate. Her name is Tamara Johnson Sheely, and she has politicsbeautyandbarbara.org, and she is the president in the concern of the Concerned Beauty and Barber Professionals. When I tell you, she is our voice, and she is an advocate. She would be a great guest for you.
Well, I know, because, I know her well. Yes,
right.
She's been one of my fans for a long time on the show.
Yeah, because we used to work together, and so we just. When I tell you, I have a big flag that I wave for everything that she does.
Yeah, she's awesome. She used to,
because she keeps you informed from state to state.
Yeah.
From Georgia to, you know, they're doing this in California. They just deregulated. No, they won, and I think they had enough written petitions in Texas that they didn't do something they were threatening to do there.
Right, they were. So, it was up to do so, but they it was shot down at the last minute, and it has been for a while now. But yes,
Tamara,
right,
here in
yes.
Georgia, they combined. We used to have separate divisions. You had the beauty division, you had the barber division, and they combined it here.
Right.
So they're slowly, if they can't divide it and break it up, they're throwing it and clumping it all together. So we just have to be aware, and we can't go on from day to day to day to day to day, because like I said, on the other part, you have the consumer that is learning everything from YouTube, and they're watching everything, and they're doing everything at home,
yeah.
And they're taking it away from the licensed people that are going to classes and buying the tools and the products and learning how to do all of this, but somebody's at home watching it on YouTube and
right.
doing it at home. Well, I can do it over here for $10.
True.
That's
a very good point. And, I mean, even I'm in New York, but I know in New Jersey it was the same thing, and they had it. First, it wasn't the barbering wasn't a part of the cosmetology programs, and then it became a part, and then it became separated again. Came together. Then they, and a lot of this – I totally understand most of, I think, both sides of it. But the thing is, a lot of this seems to be that there are, it seems a little bit contrived for money, perhaps. Is that the way? I mean, I don't know. It just seems, it's, we're going to follow it closely. Let's just kind of park it there at that. We're going to stay on top of this and kind of, again, we will be covering some of these states. And as I'm going to launch our new site as well and kind of introduce folks to what's the latest in their area, because it changes almost daily, and that's another reason that we have this platform at the Hair Radio Morning Show to talk about this and to, you know, have folks who have this in mind. Now, we are certainly folks who are as well in the middle of everybody, not just the Cosmetology Association, but those who are also advocates for natural hair and also the manufacturers, the product companies. We want everybody to have and be part of this conversation. But today is Mr. Howard Baker's turn, and with the Male Cosmetology Association. Now, your website, we alluded to it earlier. It's coming together, but maybe you could give folks the URL so when they get a moment, they can register and perhaps be part of this amazing association.
Yes, thank you, Carrie. It is for the Male Cosmetology Association. You can find us at www.themalecosmetologistassociation.com. It sounds long, but it's all together, www.themalecosmetologistassociation.com. There you can see our board, read up on our founder. We're still tweaking and adding things. It'll be restructured, so if you keep looking at it, you'll see the changes. You can also subscribe there where we'll have your email address when we get to a point where we're sending out everything about our newsletter. We have a closed Facebook group that's called Male Cosmetologist Association. You can join there. There are a few questions that you need to answer for approval. And then we also have just a public page that you can like. So this is the Hair Show Morning Show has a page that is like the Male Cosmetology Association has one as well. And we're on Instagram, Twitter as well, as the Male Cosmetologist Association or MCA. Any of those avenues will lead you to us. And please, 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 if you are interested, you can always inbox or look up Howard Baker and on Facebook, Instagram, and I will answer any questions for you that need to be answered. But again, it's www.themalecosmetologistassociation.com, and we have a closed group on Facebook, The Male Cosmetologist
Association. Well, I think that's just awesome. And for us, over at hairradio.com, which is spelled HAIradio.com, you're able to join our social media. It's our own very own social media platform. In which you can sign up. It's totally free for 30 days. And then, of course, it's $9.95 a month after that. But you can see all.
I would like to welcome you all to a delicious place to eat. We call this La Luz Cafe.
Ooh, ooh, down to 313 Warren Street, Beverly, New Jersey, and come get yourself something delicious and healthy to eat at La Luz Cafe.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It's Friday, August 6th of 2021. And if you are just joining us, you might have missed that wonderful interview with one of my favorite folks, Mr. Howard Baker, who is one of the folks behind the MCA, the Male Cosmetologists Association. So really great to have him on. As I said, just wanted to remind folks, that was back in, I think, about 2019 or so, as we are kind of looking back in preparation for our 600th episode and thinking and kind of going over some of these wonderful interviews that I kind of had forgotten about. But I remember when Howard was on the show, and we talked about all of this. My favorite part of that was trying to figure out some of the exceptions, the possible exceptions to having an, you know, I couldn't figure out or understand the concept of naming something the men or this or that. You know, it just seems like it's a little out of step to me these days. But I kind of tried to understand, you know, the angle and where it was coming from. So I hope you had a, you enjoyed that a little bit. Also wanted to say, we had taken a break, by the way. From time to time, I take a break on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Maybe sometimes a week, sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks, and sometimes longer. And then we come back with a whole nother set of all kinds of things and really interesting. So we'll keep you informed on our next break and when that is. Not anytime soon, though. So we'll be here for a little bit. Also wanted to say, I promised we were going to talk about the vaccine and kind of some of the things that on. With regards to the vaccine, I have to say it is important. It is absolutely important for folks in our community to get this vaccine. It is absolutely important for our community, for people in the African-American community, to set aside, you know, some hard feelings and go ahead and get this vaccine so that we can preserve our own lives and the lives of others. And one, I do have to say, of course, being a person of color, we totally understand why we feel that way. And I also want to admonish our own folks here in this country, because had we not had the history that exists in this country, we wouldn't have those hard feelings about trusting whether or not a vaccine would be in our best interest. So you cannot have it all kinds of ways. If you're going to do things in a certain fashion, you know, folks are going to react that way. And that's, to me, I don't know who would be surprised. So, you know, we're going to talk more about it here on the Hair Radio Morning Show and throughout our platforms. Just reminds me, you know, in this country where folks have such a challenge to make it through each day, and especially right now where folks are just dealing and reeling from so much, that shouldn't even be the case. Folks are just trying to live their lives and do the best they can. And we have to learn to support each other and support all. And I think that's the takeaway this morning. So get the vaccine, get inoculated, live your life. You know, it's not, I go out each day and I see we have, feels like you're in two camps. Either you're the camp who's wearing a mask or a camp who's not wearing a mask. You're a camp who's for vaccines, or you're a camp in the camp against vaccines. You're either this or you're that. It's constant. And we've done away with common sense. So this is something that needs to be visited. It needs to be talked about. There are a lot of folks who are not able to kind of weigh things and figure things out. They don't necessarily have the critical thinking capability, but for those of you who do, and for those of you who like to think through situations and understand and, you know, and can weigh things out and look at things comprehensively, this is where you need to be weighing in and getting the vaccine because it makes sense. And again, we understand the history in America and why you might not be the first to be raising your hand, but it makes sense and it's scientific. So I'm trusting, and at this point, I think that's all we have. So if you want to talk about it, we're here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, as we are from 6 in the morning till 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time. Want to make sure that that's clear. And also how it was talking about our different podcasts. I think we were saying we're on Spotify, which all of that is correct. We have about 9 or 10 different platforms in addition to our Monday through Friday show, in addition to our 24-hour network. So we are really out there and across the internet. So you can Google us and all those different ways and reach us. We're happy to talk to you. All right, so folks, thanks so much for being part of this. Today is Friday, and I just want to say we're going to try to get some more music on and all that, keep it a little lively for today, and then talk about what's coming up next week on the broadcast on Tuesday. Tuesday, we return to the airwaves live right here for the next installment of the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we're going to also talk about that, yes, the Vet Talk folks, they will be on Tuesday. So we'll keep it moving this morning. Let's get on some more music. We'll be right back. We were talking about the amazing Aretha Franklin behind the scenes this morning. So I feel like a little bit more Aretha. All right, well, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Let's slow down till it's done. This is the thing.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we've got a great person on the line. Her name is Edith Younger. Now, she is the owner, the proprietor, if you will, of A Cut Above Salon. Now, they're out of New Jersey. Edith, welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you, Carrie. Glad to be here today.
Well, we're happy to have you. Now, you've garnered quite a bit of press over the years. You've had to, you know, pretty much go up against redevelopment folks who wanted to kind of just come in and do some things, you know, to establish themselves where you were already in a established. So we're going to talk about all of that. But first of all, Edith, take us back. You've been in business for about 30 years. Where are you from?
Well, I'm actually from, born North Carolina, grew up in Brooklyn, and moved to New Jersey almost a little over 30 years ago. And started in the business almost 28 years ago.
So what lit that flame, if you will, then, you know, that desire that you wanted to do here? What was that?
Well, actually, I was looking for something to, I was looking for additional income. I was divorced with a young child, and I felt like I wasn't sure how corporate life was going to go for me, and it didn't go well. So I went looking for a business, and I loved doing hair. I used to do it in college, did my own, did my friends and family without any training, and so I purchased the shop and then went to school.
You purchased the shop first and then went to school.
Yes,
I wouldn't call that
wasn't a good, smart thing to do, because when you really don't even understand how to do the work, and then you really don't understand the business aspect of running the business, it's a steep learning curve. But you got to be a persevering person. So I stuck in there, went to school, and then learned how to run my store. And so it's 28 years, and I'm really quite happy with what has happened.
Okay. So at the end of the day, it's absolutely worked out for you, but you wouldn't advise anyone else to, hey, buy the salon first and then go to school?
Nope. I would not. I would actually and have advised people to go to school, learn how to do the work, you know, get the skills, work someplace that you want to, if you're planning to have a shop, work in a place that you like, that you see how it's run, so you learn the business and the back end of the business. Because really, you can do all the hair you want to do. If you don't know how to manage your business, it won't be successful.
Well, listen, if you have just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We've got with us Edith Younger. Now, she is the owner of the A Cut Above Salon, and they're located, Edith, you guys are in New Jersey where?
New Brunswick, New Jersey.
We've been in New Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how would people find you? Is there a website and a phone number?
Yes, www.acutabovehair.net, and the phone number is 732-249-6885.
Okay, now just switching gears and kind of still talking about some things that happened in the past, you got quite a bit of press and notoriety when the city chose the block with your salon on it to redevelop. Now, you've been in business at that point, what, for about 10 years? And there was a great article that was in the archives of Black Enterprise, and I thought this was just great, where you kind of took, you know, I hate to say the word fluff, but you took on the city, and tell us what that was all about and your experience.
Okay. Well, my salon was on a corner. We had a really great location right downtown New Brunswick in the theater district. And I believe it was October 1996, a reporter dropped in and said, "Have you heard?" I said, "Have I heard what? Have you heard the city's taking this block?" "What do you mean taking this block?" I had just redone my shop. My landlord and I had made a wonderful deal. He needed more space. I had more than I needed. He took some of mine and, you know, replumbed my thing, gave me a whole new bathroom, and I bought new furniture. I mean, we were sitting pretty on that corner, both of us, happy as we could be. And the city came and said the UMDNJ, the University of Medicine and Dentistry, was going to build an office building on our block, the whole block. There were 17 businesses on that block, and they were taking the block. And the city and the developer went about the business of trying to move us all out of there. And that was October 1996. And so I'm like, okay, this is not good. And I, you know, tried to talk to my neighbors about it. And, you know, some of them were fearful. I mean, I said, look, you know, they're going to take the block. You got to get that. They're going to get it. We have to make the best deal we can do to survive our businesses. And some of them, some of the businesses were owners, so they were going to be paid for their buildings, but I was a renter. My landlord was great. He owned the building, and so, you know, we just fought. And so I got a lawyer who was one of my customers. This is what people, you know, the city and the development company didn't quite get, that you never know who's sitting in the beauty parlor. And my client, I had a client who was a politician, or she worked for a political person, and I had a client who... both were attorneys, was an attorney, and they, you know, came to my aid. And so my lawyer, after 7 months of me just fussing and fighting, and, you know, if you are negotiating and you can get publicity, then they have to deal with you. And, of course, this poor woman, that would be me, was going to lose her business. My daughter was graduating from college. I mean, high school. I'm getting ready to send her to college, and they're trying to put me out of business. This will not work. So I actually had Channel 9 come, you know, because I sent press releases. I had a relationship with a young lady who was a writer, and I said, you got to write me a press release. I need to have the newspapers here. And so she did, and we had newspaper coverage. Then we had TV coverage on the block in the corner, which aggravated the city immensely. And my attorney came in towards the end of that, and because I didn't have an attorney, I was doing this by myself. Wow. And she said, I'll help you. She said, we can get this done. And so she started negotiating with the developer. And so when she finished, you know, just to make a long story shorter, I actually got moved to another place. My rent was subsidized by my developer in the new place for a year, and I was put right back in their brand-new building when they got it finished, and they built out my salon because, really, the little bit of money they spent on me was nothing compared to the lots of money they were going to make on the building. So to get somebody to finally shut up, and they took very good care of me, and they are presently my landlords, and they're very nice to me. We it's great. I have a great relationship with them, and it's all good. And so I would just advise anybody, because it's scary when it happens, because you think they have all the power. But if you can write and you can talk, you can make a deal for yourself that is good for you and your family. And that was what I learned in corporate America, how to negotiate. And that's what I was doing before I bought that shop. I worked in corporate America. And I took all kinds of classes, and one of them was a negotiating class. And I have negotiated that, my rent increases, et cetera, ever since. And that was the best class I ever had. And
They would be real proud of you.
Oh, I think they would. They would. And, you know, I had a meeting last week with some hairdressers, and so a young lady was saying, you know, she didn't know about her rent, and I told her, you know, and my first rent was negotiated by my cousin, who was a real estate accountant. And, he taught me a lot that day, you know, about rent increases, you know, the time you want, you know, the lease of time, you know, you don't want to go into a place and build out your salon and get a one-year lease. That would be nuts. You want to do 5 years. If you want 10 years, you want to know what the city's going to do with the town, because I didn't know. And then after they started with, you know, the redevelopment, I found out this was in the master plan of the city, that they were going to make these changes over years. They had to just go through the statutory things that they needed to do it. So when people are looking for a salon, they need to go and find out what the city has planned for their town, and because then they'll know how it will impact them and their business.
Wow.
I hope I didn't just go on too much there.
No, not at all. We love it. And this is the information that we want to share. Now, let's switch up the gears a little bit. We want to tell folks, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Kerry Hines. We have with us Edith Younger of A Cut Above Salon. And, again, they're in New Jersey, New Brunswick, New Jersey, that is. And we want to talk about A Cut Above Salon. What exactly do you specialize in at the salon?
Okay, well, we do hair. We do relaxers. We cut. We style. Edith, personally, that would be me. I try to do a hair replacement, hair restoration, try to find out what's going wrong. If somebody's coming in and saying they're having hair loss, that is what I am working on myself, as well as I do everything else. But this is where I feel like, you know, my calling is. So it's just to help people keep their hair on their head. If they want it, if they don't, then I'll cut it for them. But my job is to make sure they have a healthy head of hair, and that's what I do. So to that end, I purchase a laser, which works wonderfully to help stimulate the follicle and make sure blood goes to that follicle so the hair can grow and stay if they're having some breakage or hair loss. I'm affiliated now. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You go ahead. You're affiliated.
I was going to say, I'm affiliated with a Dr. Larry Shapiro down in Florida, who does hair transplants, and he's actually developed a shake to help hair growth with the vitamins that we need. And I continue to study. So that's what I think you have to do if you want to, you know, you want to serve people. You have to continually study. So I make it my business to try and go to a couple of major programs every year, you know, to continually learn what's going on in the field.
Are you finding that there are a lot of folks out there who have this problem of hair loss and need restoration?
Yes, absolutely. And some of it is self-inflicted. A lot of people, you know, with the braids and the weave, I do weave, but if you braid it, if you're doing braid weaves and you braid too tight, you're going to damage the follicle. And, you know, how many times have you seen people after they just get their hair braided, they're patting their head because it hurts, and they say, oh, this hurts. And I've seen them, I've actually seen people with, you know, the little braids around their hairline and the little white spots because it's pulling, and that will, over time, pull out that follicle. You've seen people with no edges, women with no edges. When I see people with dreads and they're really, really, really long, I just tell them, pull them up, tie them on top of your head. You do not want them hanging because they will literally pull out your hair. I've had clients come in who have dreads, and one lady told us, oh, I got up and there were two on the chair, and so we told her, they're too long. You have to cut them or they're going to pull out your hair, and in a few years you'll be bald. You'll be looking like Stevie Wonder. This is not good, you know. So she cried, but she let us cut them. You know, shoulder length is good enough for that, because otherwise they will pull out their hair. And so that's what we try to do, is teach people the styles They want the style, but some styles are not necessarily great for them. And
well,
their
speaking
hair.
Of, well, correct. Now, speaking of teaching and so forth, I wanted to just talk about education. Now, in the
mm-hmm.
past, you've talked about how important it is for educators and consumers, so fans of our show out there, to educate themselves on what causes preventable hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that you're on a mission to tell everybody. What can you share that you're able to tell, like, even the other stylists,
okay.
you know, what can you tell them in terms of how they're even treating some of their
oh.
clients?
All righty. Okay, so I relax hair and love the process because it gives people the ability to style their hair the way they want to. When you're relaxing the hair, just do the new growth. When you smooth it, just use the back of the comb. Don't do this rubbing, because you will rub off that hairline, all right? Follow the manufacturer's directions as to the timing of the relaxer. If it says 15 minutes for mild, let it stay only 15 minutes. If it says 20 minutes for super, that's it. But don't leave it on and walk away from your customer. Don't place it right at the base, the root of the person's hair immediately. Leave a little bit of hair when you put the relaxer on it. Then when you go back to smooth it, then go down to the base, to the root of the hair. And do it gently because you're stretching the hair. So if you stretch and pull too much, you'll break it. And then when they shampoo, they should change that towel 2 to 3 times because if you lay the person back in the bowl with the relaxer on their hair and the relaxer hits the bowl and it stays there, you don't rinse it or you just take too much time getting back there, you're going to eat away the nape of the neckline, the hair on the nape. So these are just things to be careful of. And then you change the towel when you rinse the hair. That's really quite simple. But a lot of people don't do it, don't know it. Consumers don't know that that should be done. Then it should be shampooed 2 to 3 times, rinse long, 5, 6, 7 minutes rinse to make sure all that product is off of the person's hair. Because if it stays, it will just simply eat it. That's just it. Because if a little bit gets on your arm and you don't notice it, in a minute you'll feel a stinging. So this is why people say, oh, my God, I'm burning. Well, maybe they're burning because the stylist has placed the product on their scalp immediately and doesn't have time to work it through the rest of the hair. So that's one thing. The second thing I would suggest for hairdressers and for the consumers to understand is if you have relaxed hair, that's a chemical, then you have color, that's a second chemical. So maybe you color your hair in a safe way. You color with a reddish brown or a brown or a lighter brown. But if you want blonde and you have relaxed hair, you're going to have short hair, period, end of story. Unless somebody, you know, really, really careful and it's a tone of blonde that isn't too much. But not a 12 on relaxed hair or it's just going to dry out, that's it. The other thing is if you have light-colored hair in the summer,
good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in